But, like, it seems like you're deferring to someone that's not actually on the show. And she's already your girlfriend.
Friends are people that you're honest with no matter what. So I'm questioning whether or not you actually know how to be friends with someone.
He doesn't need a pat on the back. He's not you.
Well,
who's a good co-host?
And Evan Cohen, who co-hosts Unsportsmanlike right here on ESPN Radio.
From Madison to the Big Apple, it's time for Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
If I'm not mistaken, that's the first time, at least that I've heard that open.
I haven't heard this
one before. I love Primetime taking some initiative and creating a brand new open for Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. You can hear Unsportsmanlike every morning, every weekday morning here on ESPN Madison. And obviously, Evan, having gone to school here at UW-Madison, are you talking to me, Ryan? Because I'm not hearing anything.
Nope, I'm talking to Evan on the phone. We had him on hold. We lost him, but he's here now.
He is. So, Alex G, Jim Rutledge with you. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light, and we're in the Everlight Solar Studio. Thrilled to be joined by Evan Cohen. You had a brand new open created. You'll have to listen next time because Prime did a great job, took the initiative to create a whole new open.
Well, I hear the Sinatra, so you never can go wrong there. So I'm good with that, and I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, that's the care factor that Prime brings to the show. We're talking like a coaching flaw, and I feel like you're a guy because you're a big Belichick guy. I feel like you're great to ask this question because whether it's this coaching cycle or if it's the just coaches in general, it seems like there's maybe three types of coaches, and the culture setter is the hardest to get right. Then there's that offensive guru guy, and then there's maybe the defensive play caller, which honestly seems like the rarest. But if I look at like Belichick, especially after New England, was more of set the culture, and then you can replace your assistants. Because we got in the discussion, like Dan Campbell is a culture setter, John Harbaugh, and they've been able to, Mike Vrabel, and they've been able to replace their assistants over time and still win. And I think Dan Campbell is one of those guys. LaFleur doesn't feel like one of those guys. But what do you think the hardest coaching hire to make? Is it harder to hire an offensive guy to see if he's going to be a great coach, or is it harder to see if someone's going to be that culture setter, which I think is incredibly rare?
Well, you're going to have to tell me which category this fits into. So I think the hardest hire is the person that's always glass half full and everything's okay when things don't go well. So what do I mean by that? Like, what if the Commanders were bad this year? Like, it's kind of annoying if Dan Quinn is like, oh, everything's great. Like, we're going to be awesome. Like, you guys suck. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like, I think about the Miami Dolphins, right? Mike McDaniel, I really root for that guy to do well because it seems like that would be a good push in the right direction in terms of leadership. Like, glass half, I can't say I'm always this way in life, obviously, but for you, Jim, but glass half full, and you're not either. I mean, that's why we mesh well, probably, because we see it the same way of like everything sucks, which is not healthy, right, in any way, shape, or form. But for us, as old men like we are, it is motivating for us, right? Like the Miami Dolphins have a guy in Mike McDaniel, like glass half full, everything's great, like players coach, okay, that's awesome upon arrival and he does well. But then when they're not as good, I mean, like, why? Everything's not great. Like, what are you talking about? LaFleur is an interesting one because I've seen him from afar as glass half full, everything's okay. I've seen them organizationally make tough decisions, right? Obviously, with Rodgers, I think they've made some tough decisions around Jair Alexander. Guys have come and gone, but he's also creative. Like, the Jeff Hafley hire, nobody saw that one coming. So I think maybe the best guy to hire, which I know is the opposite of what you're asking, is the one that kind of fills as many of those buckets as possible and kind of knows who he is. That's why LaFleur is really good and has a chance to be great. Now, if he's not great after this year, I think we're having a different discussion about him. But I think that's a really hard question. I don't think it's one size fits all.
So what you say, if he doesn't do great next year, Packers fans have incredibly high standards for greatness, despite only winning two championships with back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yesterday's show.
Evan. Right. What does greatness look like for Matt LaFleur this year?
Yeah. Okay. So, here's the thing that I would look at with this. Like, let's look at three guys right now, active NFL coaches, all right? Let's look at Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Let's look at Sean McDermott in Buffalo. And let's look at John Harbaugh in Baltimore. Two of the three, Harbaugh and Tomlin, have won titles, as we know. I believe none of the three should be quote-unquote fired, right? I believe all of the three have had this, fans have a right to have discussions about, is now kind of the time? Does it make sense for us to continue? Like, should Sean McDermott just be the coach of the Saints? Because he clearly is one of the best 32, but is he right for this job? What I think happens if Matt LaFleur and the Packers this year do not win the division, have a top two seed, and or in the conference championship game, and I'm going one step further, and Jordan Love is not a top five MVP finisher, I think there's discussions on ESPN Madison at this time next year, maybe even a couple weeks earlier than this next year, of LaFleur is a great coach. He should be one of 32, but is he right for this job anymore? That sounds nuts. I get that. But when you have that level of quarterback, and by the way, he has a new boss, does he not? Coming up soon?
Yep, as a new president, yep.
So, at fired? Policy. No chance. No chance. A mutual, like, hey, this team called us and is interested in you. Like, do you want us to let you talk to him kind of thing? You know? And maybe I'm nuts in saying this, and maybe you could sit there and say, well, they can't find a better coach than Matt LaFleur, and they may not be able to. I don't like presenting the problem without the solution, but I want to be clear on what I'm saying. All I'm saying is we had that discussion, not that that actually happened.
Talking with Evan Cohen, you can hear him on Sportsmanlike weekday mornings here on ESPN Madison. We were talking the Packers.
Wait, is that unfair what I said just now? Like, what do you guys think of what I just said?
No, literally last segment, because I have a view of, like, LaFleur, and he was getting criticized for his demonstrative nature on the sidelines. He kind of loses his cool at time. Like, LaFleur, I think he has more on the line next year than Jordan Love does. The first one to go will be LaFleur over Jordan Love.
Yeah.
It'll go LaFleur, Love, Goody if they win 10 games next year.
If they win 10 games,
if they're
of them are safe.
Let's say they get jumped by Chicago.
If they win 10 games
They're jumped by Chicago and they win 10 games. Let's say they both have 10 and Chicago gets tiebreaker.
It's still going to go. I think all of them will be safe. Don't you agree,
but
Evan?
If none of the other things happen, let's say Jordan Love stays 10th best quarterback and none of the other things happen.
The
conversation is happening.
The thing
Alex.
Is, the Packers don't go all in.
I'm not saying the team. Fans.
I know. Okay, yeah. Fans will be upset about Matt LaFleur. They'll be upset about Jeff Hafley, probably. Let's be honest. They always go after the defensive coordinator. But the thing is, the Packers don't go all in as an organization fast. The Bucks, was it last year, fired Mike Budenholzer, and then they halfway through the season make another coaching change. That's not the Green Bay Packers. There isn't somebody at the helm going crazy. They're going to be relaxed.
Because there's no ownership.
Exactly. Right. And I was thinking about that yesterday, and it feels like, you know, to a certain level, that's why the Packers only have two championships with back-to-back.
So let's ask Evan that question. Was basically...
Wait. A couple things on this. Okay. First of all, if you look at those three guys, they're big three with Green Bay. Goody, LaFleur, and Love. Who's the best at their job? Not which job is most important, because Love has the most important job, but who's actually the best at their job? Because I would say Goody is the best at his job amongst those three.
I agree.
I struggle because I put that ownership level of intensity on him, and because I have a real problem with his my guy syndrome.
That's every GM, though.
Yeah.
We just know it here because it's your team.
Right, sure. Every guy.
I have that problem, too, and that's why you're sitting next to the person you're sitting next to.
Everyone has that. I mean, it's a common thing. Like, that's a common knock for all GMs.
Okay, but that doesn't mean
still,
he can't
he
raise
still
above
to bring
it.
Bring that up, Jim.
True, he is, but I mean, like, that's not the disqualifier. Like, and I'm not even a Goody guy, but out of those three, like, Jordan Love, there's a lot of questions about him. And Coach LaFleur, he may have reached the ceiling.
And I think Goody has shown his hand, who he is. He's going to...
Put that up on the poll. Yeah, put that up, Prime.
All right, that's
poll.
A Siding Unlimited poll question. You can ask... Evan Cohen is specifically asking for a Siding Unlimited poll question. We'll post that. And your question is, Evan, who is the best...
Of the Packers' big three, which one is the best at their job?
Okay, so we'll poll that. And I want to get to yesterday's... Well, actually, yesterday we're talking about the Packers, and it's just weird... 30 years of quarterback play at a Hall of Fame level, two rings. When you look at the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the 49ers, the Steelers, there's been teams that have been able to win titles in a tight bundle. And one reason could be not having an owner. Maybe that's it, Evan. But I said maybe if they had just figured out how to keep Mike Holmgren around, and maybe they would have won more. But what is, like, from afar, what is
your... Well, you can't say that because... I mean, you can say that, but I mean, McCarthy won, so I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, but Holmgren got to the Super Bowl with Seattle, so maybe it wouldn't go from Holmgren to McCarthy though. It went Ray Rhodes, Mike Sherman.
So, no, like, I understand.
Yeah, so like in that window, maybe you have like an extra 5 years of Holmgren, and then maybe goes Holmgren to McCarthy. So what is? I mean, from afar, why do you think the Packers have two Super Bowl rings despite having a golden ticket twice and having a 30-year run with franchise QBs?
Okay, I think the owner thing is a part of it, because sometimes rash decisions aren't good decisions. Sometimes they can be, right? I think when you look at the dynastic quarterbacks of our lifetime, there is a level of humbleness that players loved Favre. Let's not get that twisted,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
But there's a level of humbleness that I think allows for sustainability that maybe the two guys in Green Bay didn't have. You hear stories about Brady, whether you love Brady or not, and I love him, where random dude walks into the locker room and for the first time, and he says, "Hi, I'm Tom. Nice to meet you. What's your name?" And they're like, "Yeah, I kind of know you're Tom. Like, what do you mean?" Right. Right? Next time you guys have James White on or any former Badger that played for the Pats, you can ask them that about Brady, right? Mahomes, there's a level of humble. I mean, think about all of this. Like, there's nothing negative to say about Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then you start thinking about some of the people around him. It's not that there's negative things to say. They've said and done controversial things, not illegal, not immoral. I'm saying controversial one way or another, right?
Yeah.
And he stays calm. He's a straight line. He's so humble in his greatness that I just wonder the humility of the greatest. Was that there in Green Bay? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was, and I don't know that. Maybe Tausch could tell you something different. Maybe Bulaga could tell you something different. But from afar, that looks different than what Brady and Mahomes look like.
Well, yeah, and you have two guys who have, throughout their career, had big moments of you know, I get my own locker room, I am going on this retreat, I don't have to come to camp, I don't have to do this, that, the other thing. They both had off-the-field issues, and they didn't fire up the crowd quite the same way. We were talking about it yesterday. Holmgren was a hard-nosed guy, and as soon as he leaves, Brett Favre, his numbers dip, he gets out of rhythm, that's where he gets his own locker room for a short while, and he becomes bigger than the organization. And without an owner, and without somebody who is laying the law, it does feel a little bit like, with those two quarterbacks in particular, you might be getting too big for your britches. Now, what I feel good about with Jordan Love, and leads me to believe that they can still win a Super Bowl with Jordan Love, despite I don't think he's going to come out to be an Aaron Rodgers or a Brett Favre, is that...
But he has that humility.
He doesn't have... Exactly. Like. He doesn't have that bigger, better than you level. And I was just curious...
Here's the thing. He's not good enough to have that. So if he becomes good enough to have that, how does he handle that? Because... You know, Brady really never did that, to my knowledge. There were kind of hints of that at the end, which is what frustrated Belichick. And Mahomes hasn't even come close to that at this point. And I don't believe, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't believe having a lot of money means you act bigger than thou because you're richer than thou. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you know, they're both actual sports owners right now. Mahomes owns a piece of the Royals, and Brady owns a piece of the Raiders. But they never acted like, oh, I'm better or bigger because I'm richer. Unlike Rutledge, who I know, oh my God, right. Man, gets people to shine his shoes now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
I want to play this clip from.
Does Primetime still do your laundry, or how does that work?
He actually just cleans my shoes now. It's winter. I move the laundry out. He just cleans my shoes when I come in. I don't want any.
What about dry cleaning? Does dirt. He do your dry cleaning?
That would be great. Let's add that to the list.
Oh, yeah. I can add that to the list. Awesome. Yeah, my hands just feel like salt every day.
Yeah, I want you to dry clean them.
Dry clean. Okay. Yes.
Figure out how to dry clean and whatever that means, and then.
Do they still give out Oreos at dry cleaners?
What?
Huh?
Is that not a thing?
That's never a thing.
No, the dry cleaner. I grew up in a town of 8,000.
Oreos at the dry cleaner?
Yeah. So there were two different dry cleaners in Plymouth, Wisconsin, my town of 8,000, and both of them gave out Oreos to the kids when you'd go in with your parents to drop off suits and whatnot.
Right, Is that not a big thing? 844-770-3776. Have you ever gotten candy or an Oreo or anything from a dry cleaner? I would love to know.
Wait, but Jim, the hard candy that's like wrapped is different than a random.
Yeah, true. Actually,
Oreo.
An Oreo.
Yeah,
an Oreo cookie specifically.
It was Oreo cookies.
Were they like super stale? Like
no.
In a dry cleaner, they have to be super dry.
There's no way my wife would let my kids take a random cookie from the dry cleaner. Even if we went to that dry cleaner all the time.
But it's not.
It seems unsanitary.
Did you grow up in a small town?
I'm not saying. I am 44 years old. That does not seem that weird to me. Yeah, people handing you stuff that you just eat. Yeah, that's what being 44 was like back in the 80s. That's not something that happens now. I'm saying my wife now, with our children, would absolutely tell them you cannot eat that. I'll back her up on it. They would be like open?
Yeah, they were in like a Tupperware style container. This was for the exact purpose of like giving the kids something to be excited
like
about when you win.
You a sucker or something.
Wait, I don't understand. Yeah. Your family never told you don't take candy from strangers.
I wasn't going in alone. I was four. I don't know.
Did they have glasses?
Right, but that makes it worse. So your parents are actually the ones giving you the candy from the strangers?
Yes, it's from my parents then. I don't know why this is a big deal. It was a safe Oreo, and it was given to me, and I'm a kid. I'm not going to say no to chocolate.
Yeah, what's...
Right, of course not, but your parents should say no to you getting chocolate from random dry cleaners.
Just for the setting the precedent of you can't just take unwrapped candy from...
And I love Jim. Jim, I love how G says... Is that not still a thing? No, it was never a thing.
Never. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I thought that I haven't been to a dry cleaner in my adult life.
I was just gonna say, like you have not been to a dry cleaner.
My suit is from a box store nearby.
That place is full of chemical. Like if you really looked into this, like you ate toxic food because those places are just beaming with chemicals, and it's not a place you want
to
spend any time.
True, I'm heading over to the dry cleaner now. I just want to be clear.
Right. Good. Ironically, I just brought some Oreos from upstairs. I forgot I bought them at Costco, and I brought a sleeve upstairs. So I'm not going to hand them out to people that come to my house.
Are we close enough? Could I accept an Oreo from you, Jim?
Yeah, but it's at my house.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't bring them here because you guys would eat them all.
That is a ridiculous statement. That is a ridiculous question. You're going to equate you accepting an Oreo from somebody you literally work with for years to the random dry cleaner who you don't know?
My mom had been going there for years. We're effectively friends at a certain point. Small towns are a big deal. Like you don't understand.
Friends
you know
with the dry
everyone.
Cleaner.
You know everyone. I went to get brunch with my pastor one day, and I got stopped by all 8 tables at a diner. You just know everyone in a small town.
How small is your town?
8,000 people. It was kind of a shocking situation that everyone stopped.
Is that normal to get brunch with your pastor? Like as a kid?
First time coming back from college, there wasn't anything going on.
I did not do that either. My town had 11,000 people, and none of these things happened.
Was it close to a bigger city?
Cedarburg? Yeah, I guess near Milwaukee. I don't know. I just think you had a different... You can't keep telling stories about like
you're
that's the normal
guy.
Wisconsin.
You really
upbringing.
Are an interesting guy.
You guys weren't a part of your high school trap shooting team. What are you talking about?
Oh goodness,
trap shooting. What's that mean?
It's the sporting clays. So they you say pull, it throws a little frisbee out.
I know what that is.
Yeah,
The school gave you guns.
I would not.
It didn't give us guns, but we had a space where it was okay to use them.
The dry cleaner gave them the guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Prime time. Good line. Well done.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Yeah. This is so derailed. I wanted to get one Bucks question in, Evan, because today you didn't list the Bucks as a team that needs to make a trade, but earlier this year, and Prime, good producer he is, has the audio of you throwing flowers at the feet of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the NBA championship, and Dame Lillard's going to be the MVP of the
Whoa.
NBA.
Go on.
Ooh.
So I think they're going to have the year this year that everyone thought they were going to have last year.
Okay.
I think they're pretty damn good, and I think the acquisitions they've made, like, around the margins are actually pretty good, and I think there's also a clear cut, this is it if you don't do it this year.
Now, that I agree with. You had Zach LaVine from the Bulls as one of the Bulls moving LaVine as one of the trades to be done. I would love, and I've seen rumors of it, LaVine to Milwaukee, but why didn't you put the Bucks on that list? Because I think you're right in the other part that this whole thing could blow up if they don't at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they're pretty good despite their rough start, right? They're 26-19. Remember, they were not good early on. They're probably going to hover around that 3-5 seed right now. I think it's pretty safe to say probably more 4-5 than 3 at this point. And in a weird way, if the Cavs are the one seed, even though I think the Cavs are awesome, the Bucks probably would rather play the Cavs than the Celtics or Knicks. If I had to guess, maybe I'm wrong, in that second round, assuming they win their first round matchup. I think the Bucks-Zach LaVine thing is more of the feelings that I'm getting, and I hate to even say this because I really like this guy, and I think he's probably one of the most underrated athletes in the history of Wisconsin sports, but the feelings that I'm getting that Chris Middleton may not physically be able to do what he previously has done in the role that he's in, right? So, like, he could go to another team and be a great sixth man, let's say, as he's doing right now with the Bucks. He's not intended to be their sixth man, right?
Right.
So I think if you're going to say, hey, we need, meaning the Bucks in this case, we need the Middleton role because Middleton can't provide that role, who's gettable that's not disruptible? And that would be a guy like Zach LaVine.
And I think he would fit fantastic. Evan, really appreciate you hopping on. Josh in Sun Prairie, not a fan of you calling your shot on poll questions, though. So, dude is a tool, is what Josh in Sun Prairie said.
Me?
So, no.
Evan. Yeah, that's what you you looked at me and smiled. Well, I got confused.
Yeah, well, because you're my co-host here. We're having a conversation.
I asked for a poll question?
Yeah, yeah. So I think Josh is just riding or dying with us. But Josh, we're okay with it. We like the question from Evan.
I think it's a hell of a poll question.
It is.
That's the kind of poll question. So, if I know Tausch, and I know Tausch, Tausch will see that poll question. Make sure he sees it. Tausch will see that poll question, and that'll be a big theme on Wildy and Tausch tomorrow if he shows up.
So the Side Unlimited poll question right now, Evan Cohen has a question for Packers fans. Which member of the big three for the Packers is best at their job? Love, LaFleur, or Goody? It is 53% Goody, 43% LaFleur, and 4% Jordan Love.
That's
right now.
Crazy.
And Josh in Sun Prairie, that's not interesting to you that the majority of Packers fans that listen to ESPN Madison, Jim, Matt, and Molly, think that Jordan Love is the weakest link of their team.
Now,
of their core of their team.
I find that fascinating. And also, Ryan, our psychedelic advisor, just chimes in and says, Evan is tight. So you got backers out there, too. Did you know our show had a psychedelic advisor?
I
think that's Alex G.
Yeah, well, no. He's my advisor. He's my personal advisor. He's my shaman in life, really.
Yeah, he had lunch with him and the pastor.
They exchange Oreos together.
The psychedelic advisor and the dry cleaner, and they had Oreos for dessert.
Right, double stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Evan, thank you. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.
Hey, this is Matt's Chicago doppelganger. You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN Madison.